We've already had a lot. So,
I had missed one. It is also Mike and Michelle's anniversary on February 15th.
Oh, oh
my. That was my bad, okay. Again.
Good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where am I? I don't even know what I was going to give. Okay, well, okay. So we're just going to have a little bit about the sower sows the word and then go to communion and they'll get, okay. So, now, okay, let's go to Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Out of the Amplified. I'm going to ask you to put up spirit, soul, and body. So I don't know if you know where that is. There's someone new behind the putting that stuff up. So, okay, so verse 3. Jesus, it says he was, did you know Jesus had a house? It was by the Sea of Capernaum. His was his own house. He had a beach house because it was by right by Capernaum. And if you really read the Gospels, you'll see it. It was his house. It was not Peter's house. No. Okay, so he went out of the house and he was sitting beside the sea. See? It was on his patio. Anyway, verse 3. And he told, Jesus told them, crowds always started to come, and he told them many things in parables, stories, by the way of illustration. And it said, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on a rocky ground, on cement or rocks, you know, where they had not much soil, and at once they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. Yeah. We had a lot of birds, and on our patio, flowers used to grow in the cracks because they brought the seed with them when they, you know. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they dried up and withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and yielded 100 times as much as was sown, 60 or 30. All right. So, now, the seed of the sower is the word of God. So, I am planting seed right now. I'm sowing it if I'm actually in the word. I can give you some just old ducky sermon. But most of the stuff that we get is out of the word of God. Okay, that's why you have to watch who you listen to sometimes. Okay, so the ground here is the human heart. The human heart. Your heart is, I mean, we're talking about your spirit man is ground, and it is so, it's a garden. Let's put it that way. Okay. Now, we need to tell you, put spirit, soul, and body up there. You are a spirit being. Every human being is a spirit being. You have a soul, which is different than your spirit. Your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. And you live in a body. He said, well, I never heard of that. Spirit and soul, same thing. No, in Thessalonians it says, no, it separates them. Spirit, soul, body. Okay, so before you're born again, that's what your spirit looked like. It was black. And the instant, now it doesn't mean just because it said, God, come into my heart. If you didn't mean it, God knows it. And it's still black. But if you really were sincere, God knows the difference. You are to say it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. If you just believe it in your heart, you never say it with your mouth. It doesn't work. Or if you just say it with your mouth and you don't mean it in your heart, it doesn't work. It has to be, it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, you have to believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. Yeah. Nobody ever told me that. You'd see, that's what I'm talking about. But you have to have it both places. Do you know that's how you get everything in the kingdom of God? After that, you get healing that way. There's thousands of healing scriptures. And you say it with your mouth, you believe them in your heart. Financial scriptures. All those things. Family scriptures. Okay, so the second you do that and you meet, it turns white. She doesn't know how to block it out. I want you to turn it white if you can. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't know how to do it. Okay, so then you see, and there's a division there. There'll still be a division between your spirit and your soul. Okay, your soul is composed of your mind, your intellect, your will. So you've got a free will from the Lord, and your emotions. Now I can tell you this, I saw how my emotions changed because of my being born again. Not immediately, but oh my gosh, major difference. Depression goes. I mean, I was always fighting that. You know, emotions getting dramatic about stuff. Drama. Okay, your mind, your will, your emotions. Okay, what you have to do to change that is to renew your mind with the Word of God. If you get born again and you do not read the Word or meditate on the Word or listen to the Word or get seed sown, you never grow. And you never have victory. There's no victory. I've seen the difference, too. After all these years, or 43 years, I don't even know what it is. You see the difference. Your emotions change. You're stronger. Your will becomes God's will. Your mind gets sharper. I'll tell you what. Even dementia doesn't have to be in your life. You don't have to have. Okay, where was I? Even with dementia, people can get dementia. There was a woman, and this is a documented case, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe 20 years ago, and she, her daughter went to Bible college. She took her mother out of the nursing home, put the Bible on tape with her day and night, day and night, day and night. She started to come around, and pretty soon, she actually then started reading the Word with her, having her memorize scriptures, and you know what? She snapped out of it. She goes into nursing homes and helps people. She had severe dementia. My mother had dementia, and she was in her 60s, and it broke my heart. It broke my heart. And I mean, I go, you know, to see her, and all of a sudden, I mean, she'd go like this. Like, and I, she knows me. And it breaks your heart because you remember having coffee with her, having fun with her. She was a widow. My dad died when I was 14, and I was the last child. So, I mean, her and I really got close. You know, and, it's horrible to see that. But we didn't know, you know, that you could renew your mind with the Word, or I would have done it too. Okay, but it has to be renewed. And you see, that part, when your spirit man takes over, that mind, will, and emotions, your body even starts to come into line. It might be the last one to come in line, but it does. Because now this thing is, your mind is the control center of your being. And each part of you, Jesus redeemed by the blood. He did something to redeem it. But the soul has to be renewed to live in victory that Jesus purchased. Okay, now let's go to Matthew 13, verse 10. Jesus kind of explains it. In verse 9, though, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him be listening. Let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing." If you're listening, if you're really caring about what I'm saying right now, it's not me. I can't do nothing without God. But he has ears to hear. Okay. So, verse 11, the disciples came to him and they said, "Why do you speak in parables?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." To people who don't listen. To people who don't give a hang. To people who just... "For whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him will more be given." You are given, and I've seen that. "And he will be furnished richly so that he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away." "This is the reason I speak to them in parables," Jesus said. "Because having the power of seeing..." Not we're not talking about, you know, physical seeing. "Seeing the word, they do not see. And having the power of hearing, they do not hear," or they don't grasp and understand, because people just sit there, "Well, it's okay to go to sleep. You know, it's okay to sleep in church. Why bother coming? Go to bed." And it doesn't help the person speaking. You stand up here. You stand up here and see what it feels like. So you're going, "Get that boy." I mean, it throws you, but it shouldn't. You can't. I mean, you can't get thrown, but it's just like there's no pull. See, you pull on even them responding. Helps them to know more. The more you respond, I learned this from Nancy Dufresne. The more you say yes, amen, blah, 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 the more you get out of it. You pull it out. The anointing comes. There's like a whole sermon on response. Okay. So, okay. "In them, indeed," verse 14, "is the process of fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'You shall indeed hear and hear, but never grasp and understand. And you shall indeed look and look, but never see and perceive.'" Okay, I got to say this. When I got to be born again, so I started reading the Bible, I came to this verse in Isaiah. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is just exactly what was happening in the church I came from. And now it's Isaiah 29:13. If you want to put it up there. I actually wrote it out, and I'll say it for sake of time. "The Lord said, 'For as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but remove their hearts and minds far from me, and their fear and reverence for me are a commandment of men that learned repetition without any thought as to the meaning." I saw it. I looked back and I saw it. And I went, you take this bulletin and you take this book and you go through it. It's the same old thing. It's the same exact thing all the time. And you go, and after a while, it just is... Ruth, you don't even know what you're saying anymore. You know, you might say it, but you don't even know what you're saying. And it has no meaning of heart to you. Not everybody is like that. And in any of, but when I got born again and I go to church, I went, oh my gosh. You know, and I've heard people say, well, they're actually saying the Bible. But I said, yeah, but see, it's not in here. You can go to theological school and get master's degrees, and you don't know nothing because you're not filled or born again. It's not there. See, I'm just telling you this because that's truth. That is the truth. And, you know, even Romans 12, 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conformed means you do what the world does. What I see is even a lot of people get born again. And then what happens is things happen in their life and they go right back to the world for their answers. See, that's what I saw. You see that difference. You can't go to the world for your answers. God wants you to renew your mind. He's got the answers. But if you never get into this or you never listen to it or it doesn't mean that much, the hunger won't stay. You never apply it to your life. God's got it loaded in here with answers for things that happen in our life. Okay. So, really, those who love him, it says, and I said this already, John 14, and he says, if you love me, if you really love me, you'll keep my word. See, those who have a desire and a hunger and a want to understand the deep truth of the gospel, God will give it to them. And he'll open up your spiritual eyes and you'll start to see. And if God sees there's no hunger or no desire to get to know, get the knowledge of God's word and that you really don't care about, then opportunities will be taken away. They really will. Because I've seen it. I've seen so many things that, you know, and those who understand because of desire and study, and they dig in it and lay down their life for it. And see, some people appreciate God's word, and they want to live it, and they want to get more. And some who have opportunities to learn more, but don't really care about it, and don't use the opportunity to learn the truth. And really, they'll finally lose everything they knew about the word. And there's a lack of appreciation of the word. See, but this can happen if you get, even when you get born again and spirit filled. See, the more you, we've all had a dry time, probably. Yeah, we've all had a dry time. And I don't like it. And I know most of the time it's because I haven't filled myself. Or else the devil keeps you so busy that you don't have time. There's times I wanted to get in the Word so bad. And it was like, well, this IRS thing's due this day. This is due. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the church. Anyway. And you want to get full. But you can't. I mean, it's not that you can't, but actually, the IRS probably would have to come. You know, if there's a deadline date. Okay. But the more you, if I've had a dry time, I usually turn on some worship music. And then I start thanking the Lord for everything that he's given me. God, I thank you that I've got a warm house when it's cold outside. I thank you I have a cool house when it's hot outside. I thank you for running water. You know, we have a bathroom in the house. I don't have to go outside. You know, there's so many things that you could, for the food in the house, for refrigerating, I mean for everything, even for your pets that God gives you, and they love you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for just all kinds of things. When I start doing that, I go, oh my gosh, all my life he has been so, so good. You were there when my husband died. You were there when stuff happened to my kids. You were there when my mom and dad died. You were there when I had cancer. You were there when I almost died when I was little. And he was there all the time. And you start thanking him. Yeah, you start revving your spirit up. So that's what you need to do. I thank you for all the people you gave me. You know, even in this church, there would be wonderful people. So, see, but if you're lackadaisical and you're apathetic, come see, come saw, attitude toward God, it doesn't work. And you don't have to be like super religious. People think about super religious. See, that isn't it. You're just plain ordinary person, but your life changes for the better. But if you leave all this go, your heart starts to get hard. The ground is hard, just like outside, from a lack of rain, from a lack of moisture, from a lack of getting into the Word. And there needs to be repentance when that happens. Okay, now I'm just going to give a little bit more here. We'll go to communion. Today, but okay, so Matthew, I have here 13:18 through 23. Now, the Lord explained it to him, what he all meant by that rocky ground that I read that at the beginning. Listen to the meaning of the parable of the sower. I think I'm going to read it out of King James, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. He comes immediately to try to steal it. And this is that one that threw the seed by the wayside and the birds ate it up. Okay? But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word and he receives it with joy. And this is it. A lot of times we receive it with joy. You ever been in here and go, yeah, 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 yeah? But depends how deep your roots are of how you've been getting in here. Speaker comes. And all these things, the gifts of the Spirit moving, and all these things. Woo, woo, did we have a service? You know, I can tell you this too, though, that some services can be, and if they're all emotion, you leave with nothing, you might get in a fight right out the door. But you don't know how to counteract it. Because it was just, oh, what's that? Oh, I was crying. You know, that doesn't, don't you know what I mean? Yeah, you're literally emotional from it. All I can say is there's a lot of whoopee-doo. And so I don't want to say. Some of the biggest churches in the world. And you think, wow, they must really be right on because they're so big. Ain't always true. And there's nothing but emotion. You know, and I'm not kidding. You're a real, emotion. But the truth will set you free. I don't want to say anymore. Okay. So, see, but where was I? Okay, yet that person may not have, he receives it with joy, but but he has no root in himself. And this is what can happen with that emotion thing. There's no root in himself, but he endures for a little while. But see, here comes tribulation. You have a car accident. That could be tribulation. Your brand new car's wrecked. Or persecution comes. Somebody starts making fun of you in your family or something like that. That happened a lot when we first got born again. Whoa, did it happen. A lot of persecution arises because of the word. By and by, you become actually offended by the word. Or sometimes the word that you say corrects you. It's corrected me while I've been preaching it. It will correct you, and you go, well, I don't want to go to that church. And you're just reading the word. And they're mad at you because they think you're the one who's correcting them. But see, you get conviction. If you feel that, you need to do something about it. Okay, so he also that received the seed, verse 22, among the thorns, is he that hears the word. Okay, so you went a little bit further. But the cares of this world, well, I want more. And that's good if you have but you can go overboard on that. If you're not ready or you aren't, there's certain areas. I've seen that too. What I mean, you don't, well, okay. You have to go where your faith is to have more. So because then the cares of this world come in. All kinds of stuff. I mean, it could be finances. Your job. The things that are happening and all that. It says deceitfulness of riches. And God wants us to be the most prosperous people in the world. But some people jump at that, and they jump from down here to up here, and they get in trouble. Then they can't even tithe. They can't give money to the church because, you know what? I've always thought that. I thought, if I get this, though, I might not be able to give the amount I give keep giving to the church. And that bothers me. You know, I mean, I think of things like that. Lo and behold, I get this book about the local church, and they put that in there. But see, the Holy Ghost told me that. He'll show you things. Okay, see, all that stuff will choke the word, and you become unfruitful, and it doesn't. Okay, did you know, and I'm not going too much further with this, but did you know that when you become born again, there are born again people, I hate to even tell you this, and only one-fourth usually follow. See, there's four different kinds of ground. I didn't tell you what the fourth one was yet. I'll read it right now. See, these three didn't make it. They're not making it in Christianity. But the fourth one was, but he that receives the seed into good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth 100, 60, and 30. See, you got to stir up your hunger to even care what I'm saying today. Let me read just, God said what, then Jesus said what the kingdom of God was, verse 37, out of the Amplified. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, is Jesus. Yeah, but see, Jesus can be speaking right through when you're using the word. The field is the world, and the good seed means the children of the kingdom. The darnel, or weeds, is the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed the weeds is the devil. And the harvest is the close and consummation of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And just as the weeds resembling wheat is gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. Gosh, you guys, we're getting close to the close of the age. Look at what's happening. They're already talking about the mark of the beast, the way to put it on. Oh, you have no idea. It's loaded with exactly what we all learned about all this at the end. I never even thought I'd be alive to hear it. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of offense, persons by whom others are drawn into error or sin. They're a cause of offense in the kingdom. And all who do iniquity and act wickedly, and he'll cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Then will the righteous shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Let him who has ears to hear be listening, and let him consider and understand by hearing. Here's another example. The kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found and he hid again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. You know what? He gave his life for it. That's how he's comparing this, the kingdom of God. I found something precious. And I get, you know what? And I thought, I'm going to continue this thing. Okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a dealer in search of fine and precious pearls, who on finding a single pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had, and he bought it. He gave everything he had to get that one pearl. The kingdom of God should be like that, because in the long run, instead of going, some people, it's like an oil well. This guy would not give up, and he spent millions of dollars drilling. And this is a true story. Happened in maybe way back in the 30s, though. And he would not stop. He would not give up. And they wanted to, he said, you're out of money. He said, I don't care. Loan me the money. Please, this guy wouldn't do it. He begged him. He did it. You know what? He hit oil, and he made tens of millions of dollars because he wouldn't stop. He gave everything for it, all the money he had to keep going. So, And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet which cast into the sea and gathered in fish. And when it was full, men dragged it on the beach and sat down and sorted out the good fish into baskets, and the worthless ones they threw away. It's talking about us. So it will be at the close and consummation of the age. The angels will go forth and separate the wicked and the righteous. There's still time, though. Keep praying for your loved ones. Just keep praying, but get interested. Get interested in the Word. We are at the end of an age. We're close. Closer than we've ever been. Well, of course we are. Every second that passes, we get closer. Well, let me just read 54 through 58 also. Verses. Now, this was Jesus. He told him all this stuff and showed him what the kingdom of God, what we should do for it and how it could help us. And then he came to his own country, Nazareth. He taught in their synagogue so that they were amazed and bewildered and wondered, hey, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Wait a minute. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and are not his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? And do not all his sisters live here among us? When did this man get all this? And they, you know, I used to say, okay, so I go to my hometown, they go, I remember you were in high school. You were pretty ornery. Why would God use you to do this? It's the truth. What? Yahweh, I know you. You know what? Or they could have said, well, I babysat with Jesus. I changed his diapers. He's just a mere man. What? What is all this? And they took offense at him. They were repelled and hindered from acknowledging his authority and caused to stumble. So here's this short person standing up here. And the same thing. You think, what does she know? I can't help it if God picks you. I can't help it. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without, and he means, why a prophet? He means somebody in the ministry. Is not without honor except, he gets honor other places, but in his own hometown or in his own country and in his own house, he does not. And he could not do many works of power. It says he did not do of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. Well, I'm going to stop there. There could be a lot more, but there is a divine mission that the church has. And last week we talked about the vision, and we have a vision, and it needs to come totally to pass. And that vision was given way at the beginning. You could get the communion elements ready. I should have closed my Bible. 1 Corinthians 11. In the Amplified, for sure. 1 Corinthians 11. Have mercy on us, Lord. See, and if somebody gossips about me or about this church, stick up for it. If you're part of it. Amen. Instead of agreeing with them. We need to build that vision. We need to move. We need to go forward. Okay, so then right after communion, we will be dismissed, though. But now it does say, whosoever eats of the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence, a verdict of judgment upon himself. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason many are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death. And that means died prematurely. See, okay, so how do you discern the Lord's body? Okay, the Lord's body, Jesus is the head of the church, right? And we are the body. Just like I got a head and I got a body. And there's arms and legs, the arms and legs and hands and feet and fingers and hips and toes and knees and all the parts. You are each part of each other. We are. Amen. Somebody up there, maybe they're a whole back. You know what I mean? Or doing music. You know what I mean? You can't, if I don't have a back, I can't, my body's not whole. You know what? Some people have to be the ear. Or no, the head is the head. Now, the head, my head isn't floating out there. While there, we are one body. It says people who are born again are, Jesus is the head, and the rest of us are parts of the body. And you've got to discern your brothers and sisters and forgive them. Forgive each other. Love each other. And even if there's something they did that's not too hot, drop it. Yeah, like my grandson right here, he always tells me, Eh, who cares? I'm just going to drop it. And that's the way to be. You have to. See, that's the way you get your mind renewed. And everybody that comes from that Bible school is like that. Okay, so that's one way you discern the Lord's body. And you also discern Christ's body because he had a real body just like ours when he was on the earth. And it was beaten and tortured for your sins and for your sicknesses. And most people don't believe it. It was passed away. No, it hasn't. God's word never passes away. There is so much error of teaching, and that's why I said be careful who you watch on TV. Be careful who you watch, because there's error. And after you've been in this over 40 years, you can pick it up just like nothing. You hear them say one thing, and you got it. You know it. Nope, don't listen to it. It's wrong. So, but you must discern that Jesus did those things for you. And you know, even if you haven't said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't believe, and I'm going to get into the word more. Or have that hunger for the Lord, or keep moving and going with the Lord so that you're stirred up. The more I do it, the more I get stirred up. And I know, and I have the dry times. So what do? I start thanking the Lord, get into the Psalms, get into something, worship the Lord, put on worship music. You start to stir yourself up again. Okay. So even while, you know what? Would you play, I didn't put anything there. Would you just play The Goodness of God by, you know what? Do it by Bot. If you would get it on YouTube, is that all right with you, or did you have some? Yeah, because I didn't think about that. And while that song is playing, the way we do it here, the ushers will escort you to come up here and get the elements and then take them back to your seat and we'll receive all at once. Okay? So we'll wait until the song goes on. All you have to do is put Bot in there and you get their music. Okay.